I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to WTIC's Pet Talk. Today, Drs. Andrea Dennis and Eva Saranovich take your pet health questions. This is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or star WTIC from your cell phone if you have AT&T Wireless. And now, Pet Talk.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis.
I'm Eva Saranovich.
And we're from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. This is our first show of the decade. Not just
That's the year, so the decade. It's just hard to even
comprehend and get our minds around it.
Exactly.
I actually stole that from our producer, Mike, but when you really think of 2020, here we go. So,
yeah.
You have no words.
I don't.
but at the same time, it's a time for changes in our lives, for new beginnings, and that includes our pets. So we're going to sort of start off the show here. We're talking about some of the things that we think are important to do, some sort of New Year's resolutions for your pets. But again, just a reminder what the show is all about. We have a full Saturday lineup where people call in for, you know, some helpful help from us for your pet questions. So that's what we're here for. So we need you to call in. We would love for you to either share some issues that you're going through that would be helpful to others, or at the same time, if you actually have questions about your pet's medical care, about what you're doing at home, what's the best diets to put them on, and, you know, even sometimes some of the behavioral things that they're doing is actually related to their medical health. I had a couple of cases today where people came in and they were thinking that, you know, geez, the behavior's really changed, but by the time they left, they now understand there's some medical reasons behind it. So that's what we're here for, and we love speaking with you. We talk to each other all the time during the week, so it's time for you to call us at 860-522-9842 or 1-800-966-9842. And in the meantime, as the calls are coming in, let's just start off about some of the important things. And we've talked about this in years past, too. But as we start 2020 in the decade, it's all about, it's always number one, how do we get in shape ourselves and with our pets? And it really is a matter of exercise, if you can, and weight control. And so if we could make our first resolution is to exercise a bit more, and that doesn't include just dogs. You know, cats, there's a lot of things you can do inside with your cats, playing with toys, get them motivated to go ahead and play with you and just to move. I even, my cat is so food-oriented, I'll shake the... Okay, so that's an understatement. All right. My cat would eat all the time. Okay. But if I shake her food like one stair level to the other, she runs up and down. Yep. And sometimes that's the best way for Rita to exercise.
It's true.
And the other thing with that is that with the diet itself, again, this is an example of speaking with someone today. People generally just eyeball their food.
Right.
They don't measure it. And so when I asked, someone was gaining weight over the last 6 months, and I asked, well, how much are you feeding? And, well, kind of this much, just a scoop. Well, the scoop, I said, well, measure what the scoop is. And because they thought it was a quarter of a cup twice a day. And that's really, because it's a small dog. That's what they should be doing. And they came in, their follow-up, and they said, you know, it actually was a half a cup twice a day. We're actually feeding twice what you had recommended. But it's just a matter of measuring. So do a food audit. Actually measure the food. See how much you're feeding. Look what the package says. And even the packaging is a guideline. You know, we all know we all burn up calories a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. One by one, each individual is different. And so with that, that will help with the exercise and make sure that your dogs, especially if you go outside, if they even sometimes if they have some arthritis, if we can keep them at a nice lean weight and then with some exercise and out, without overdoing it, that's a great way to help control that.
It is.
So that's number one. And I can just, as I bang my microphone, I talk with my hands. The puzzle feeders.
Right, puzzle feeders are very good ways to feed animals.
Mm-hmm. These are like little toys that they call them puzzle toys, and you can sort of, it slows down their eating, and they feel like they're doing something interesting, and you're switching up the way that you deliver the food. So look into some of those ideas for better food intake.
Other things for the new year. If you are looking to experience new places and travel, look into places that you can take your pets. There are, especially for dogs, there are many more dog-friendly hotels or dog-friendly campgrounds or parks or cities that you can look into where you might want to travel with your animal. Certainly make sure you're prepared for traveling with your animal as far as having medications and leashed properly and microchipped and all that, but it can be a fun way to spend time with your pet and go and see new things. The other thing that goes along with that is getting your pets new to good new situations, maybe getting your pets trained more. If there's certain behavioral aspects that you're sitting there going, I can't even go walk down the street with my pet. Well, it's time to talk to your veterinarian about a good trainer or about somebody to work with. If you're using a regular collar, does a gentle leader help? What can you do to train your dog to walk with you better so that you can go experience new things? And if you have a dog that's fearful, maybe it's time to talk to somebody about how do I get my dog over this and working with a professional to say, how can I get my dog used to things so we can go to new places and do new things and that the dog will be comfortable.
Right.
Interesting there, when you talk about training service dogs, but it's really even just our own dogs. One of the big things for socializing them, getting them used to being out there is when you first get them or when they're puppies, exposing them to different surfaces. Can they walk on grass? Can they walk on dirt?
Right.
Can they walk on wobbly things? Can they walk on bridges?
On snow.
On snow. What's it like when you turn the vacuum on in your house? Do we need a lot of treats to make them used to that? Experiencing other people. If you want a dog that you can take into the city, then you've got to get a dog that is not fearful of other people when they approach them. So getting that dog exposed to that at an early age is always a good thing. But
right.
So if you work, it's first of all, a dog can always learn new tricks just like we can.
Mm-hmm.
We really can. So it's never too late to go to a trainer and work on the problems that you're having and work things out because it can be done.
Very good. And there's, like you said, you're not too old to learn.
Never.
And that's an old wives' tale, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. This is a resolution that I am going to do, and that is spending more time with my pets.
Mm-hmm.
When I come in the house, and because life gets so busy, and I come home from work, and I generally have my hands full. Mm-hmm. Every finger is carrying something. And when I get in the door, and Jack, who's like 80 pounds, and you've got your dog's cats at home too, and he can't wait for you to touch him, can't wait for you to say hello. And I'm like, okay, Jack, let me put my things down, and you'll get petted because he's such a love. But then it's those times too when life, it can be just so stressful to just take a breather and spend more time with them because you're going to end up doing more good for yourself because it reduces your stress and it allows just take a few deep breaths while you're just doing that. So that's kind of number one on my list.
I did that last night with Henry, who's almost 90 pounds.
Uh-huh.
He lay on top of me, put his head on my shoulder, and we just sat on the couch for a while, and he fell asleep. It was very cute. He's a little heavy, but
Yeah, he's getting a little bit heavier, but he's still cute. But yeah, let's just take a little bit more time, before you go and exercise and do the other things you have to do or make dinner, just spend a little bit more time with your pets, too. Be good for both of us, all of us.
I think... as with all of us, and for your pets, January is a good time to assess wellness and health.
Mm-hmm.
Things like if you haven't had a wellness check in a while, schedule that wellness check. Mm-hmm. Make sure you go down your checklist with any questions you have for your veterinarian. It's a good time to say, this is what's been happening recently. Is it a problem? Because we all see things and put them to the back of our head and walk past it.
Right.
That's your time to ask all those questions you have. And things like teeth and oral health and resolving to get better about toothbrushing, which I resolved to get better about toothbrushing because it's good. It's so healthy for your animals. It's the right thing to do. It's not just the bad breath in the car.
No.
It's the health of your pet. So this is a good time of year to assess all of that.
And we've been very fortunate about not having many emergencies lately. We may have the disastrous snowstorm in October. We've had the hurricanes, but it's been relatively quiet. Mm-hmm. You look what's happening in Australia. Mm-hmm. But what is should also be on your list of things to do here as a New Year's resolution is to create an emergency pet plan. And I'm talking about, you know, there is going to be times when we have to evacuate because of a disaster or natural disaster of some kind. So you want to, as you mentioned, you know, look into pet-friendly hotels that you can mm-hmm. think of where you're going. If you feel like, okay, well, I have a relative in New York, upper state New York, would that relative accept you and accept your pets mm-hmm. if you had to leave your home? I would also check in with the town, your local town. What would be available in terms of if we had to have because of electricity and power or heat, you know, where would your pet be able to go? Would you be able to keep your pet with you? I also think if you can get a put together a survival kit that's made up of medicine, their food, you know, and even some a bit of a medical record mm-hmm. when they last had their rabies shot, things like that. So it, for kitties, I always have an extra box of kitty litter.
Right.
I always have one extra, so just in case mm-hmm. I have to go somewhere. So I think those are some pretty good mm-hmm. thoughts. Do you have anything else you wanted to add with that? Or I think we kind of covered it.
I think we kind of covered it. I think, and remember, for any of these things, if you need help, your veterinarian's a good resource. Don't be afraid to call the staff, and your veterinarian can help you with any of these questions that you have. That, you know, what should I be doing for any suggestions of what I should have for a plan?
Right.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's is going to conclude our important resolutions mm-hmm. for 2020, things that you can do for yourselves and your pets. We know you know what's high on our list of what we're going to do. So we're going to come back, and again, there'll be time to take your calls, but just we'll take a quick break this time, and we'll be back with more pet talk. We're celebrating the beginning of 2020 with Mariah Carey. She's an upbeat because it is a dreary day out there.
It is a very dreary day out there.
I could just snuggle and go right mm-hmm. back into bed without a problem. But we're here. You're listening to Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennison, along with Dr. Eva Saranovich. We're from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. And on Saturdays, we're here on the air from 2 to 3. And our job here, our reason for driving to Farmington is so that we can speak with you. And we do have open phone lines. So please feel free to give us a call. And this would be great time to get in because before you know, we just have another half hour about left with the show. It goes by fast. So if you call now, we'll definitely get you in. And that's 860-522-9842. Or 800-966-9842. You can also reach us at on our website, which is very easy, BloomfieldAnimalHospitalCT.com. So it is winter, even though it's 40 something degrees today. Mm-hmm. We have some winter issues that people also need to be alert of and keep their pets safe.
Yeah, there was a case in Connecticut where a man fell through the ice while trying to rescue his dog before Christmas time. So he went out on the lake, and when his dog fell through and tried to help him, he went in. Mm. Fortunately, and people called fire officials, and three people, bystanders, kind of linked up and helped pull him and his dog out of the water. But he was suffering from severe hyperthermia, couldn't walk, ended up in the hospital. The dog, fortunately, was better off.
Wow.
But it's all about, you know, what to do if that happens. I've had friends that happened to. I had a client who lost a dog who the dog went in the ice and they couldn't, there was nothing they could do.
Right.
But if your dog does fall on the ice, you going out there, you're heavier than your dog. Mm-hmm. You are very likely to go in after your dog. So the first thing you should do is call 911.
Good.
You going out there is not going to help anybody. Mm-hmm. The two of you will be in there, so you really shouldn't. You should let the experts go in there and get the dog. You know, they'll have ropes, they'll have somebody on shore, and they're going to have the proper outfits, and, you know, they'll know how to take care of it.
Right.
But to stay safe on the ice, first of all, when you're in those situations, your dog should be on a leash. They shouldn't. They don't know any better. They will run out there. They will slide out there. You need to be super careful when there's water around.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that ice thickness isn't necessarily what you think it is. I mean, depending if there's running water on the area that you see that's frozen, you don't know how thick that ice is. You don't know if you're it's too dangerous to suppose we can walk across
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ice fishing, you don't want, you know, people, I wouldn't ice fish because I don't like the cold that much, but you need to know how to do that safely. You need to be aware of where your pets are, but it's super important. Don't go out there after your dog. Get help.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, you can have some cold days. The ice looks like it's frozen, mm-hmm. and then it just sort of it warms up, and before you know it, that ice is just too thin.
Right.
And again, to personally have a client and a patient that passed away because they ran down the hill and went into the ice. Right. I'll always remember that issue, and I still feel so helpless where you just can't do anything.
Right. Right.
So be careful with the ice. As promised, said we would answer as many phone calls, and we'll take your phone calls for today. And so we're going to start with Paul. How are you today, Paul? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, too.
Thank you. So you have a cat, I'm assuming, or do you have more than one?
Just one cat.
Okay. And what's going on?
I heard, I don't know, maybe a month ago or so, you had a recommendation for something that would help break up fur balls or decrease them?
You know, that may have been Lori Fass is a dog trainer. Should we alternate on Saturdays? I actually don't remember that, but I'm happy to, it's hard to break up a fur ball. Because really that's something there's things that you can do to help the fur pass through the cat system.
Okay. Yeah, that was what it was, I believe.
Okay. So how do you know that your cat has a fur ball? Is it because we're vomiting up fur or coughing or what?
Vomiting up fur.
Okay. So, and pretty much it looks tubular? Does it look like it's been... Okay. And do you have a long-haired cat?
Yes.
Okay. And what did you try so far?
We put him on a diet that has supposedly fur ball reducing
mm-hmm.
to it.
Okay.
And it helped a little bit, but, it's not... It's not acute. It's just chronic. He does it like maybe once every week or so.
Yeah. I see that the fur ball food is not my go-to things. That's why I think it's probably Lori that answered that. The food is fine. My cats actually vomited more on that food. It just didn't agree with them. But it's something. It's something you can try. I think really the best thing for any cat, whether they're long-haired or short-haired, my cat gets combed every single day. That's part of my spending time with my cat. And even just to keep as much hair out of their mouths. And if you can comb them, that's the number one thing.
That's the problem with him is that you can brush his back, which is fine, but he doesn't lick there. So I go on the sides of the bellies. He'll sort of nip at you to get you away from it.
Can you, maybe even do just three or four combings, like three or four movements, and then be done? Like just do it before he bites you or gets upset?
Yeah.
So don't make, that's what I'm saying. I just do a little bit every day, and I'll say, okay, I did the left, chest wall. That's what I did. I did under his neck on Saturday, because my cat will let me do it maybe, for about 30 seconds, and then she lets me know that she's done, depending on where I do it. Like you said, she doesn't mind the back, but getting her underneath the belly, but make a section of her body three, four, maybe five times, and then she'll know that you're not going to overdo it. You're not going to overstimulate her. You're not going to bother her. And then she'll learn to trust you that it's not going to be a five-minute ordeal. So I would start there, okay?
Yeah.
And then I do like the medicine that comes in a tube, looks like toothpaste. It's Lexatone is one of my favorite, and you just give them a little bit on their lips, or smear some on their, put some on your finger, smear it on their lips, and then they take that every day. And I think that's more helpful than the food itself.
Yeah, no, the Lexatone is what I couldn't remember. I remember.
Okay. Get the Lexatone. Call your veterinary office, and they will have it for you. Let's start that and a little bit of combing, Paul, and I think that's going to help you start 2020 off and less fur balls.
Okay. Now, I get the Lexatone only through the
I think there's different names over the counter. There's different names over the counter, but Laxatone is the one that we use through the veterinary ones, and that one's always a good product. Okay. And it's not very expensive, really. I would just call them, but they have other things that you can like probably go to a Petco or a PetSmart and find something. But I know what's in the Laxatone, and that's why I'm recommending it.
Right, right.
All right, Paul, we got to take a news break. I'm happy you can stay on hold if you have more questions. But I've
no,
got.
I'm all set.
Okay. All right. Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
Happy New Year too. Bye bye.
Bye bye. All right. Yes, as promised, we have a news break, but we will answer all the calls today. So let's take a hard break. We'll be right back. It's Saturday, and the first Saturday of 2020. You know, sometimes I couldn't remember last week. Was this a Friday or was it Sunday?
It was so confusing.
It was very confusing, but we're back on track. Mm-hmm. It's Saturday, first Saturday, and we are celebrating the beginning of the year. We went over quite a few resolutions. We may have more to add to the list, but I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis and Dr. Eva Saranovich, and we are here sharing our afternoon with you. We always encourage you to call in. We love the conversation. We love the feedback. That's what we're here for, is to try to help you out, do the right things for your pets. So call us at 860-522-9842. We'll get you in on the air. And we're very nice. We're very polite. We're non-judgmental. And it's 1-800-966-9842. Michael will sort of screen your calls and get you on. And I think we've had Kathy has been a very patient soul. Kathy, welcome to Pet Talk.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I was listening to you talk about New Year's resolutions, and I was thinking, you know, that you should know how to do pet CPR. You should know how to do basic medical care if there's an emergency. I just lost my dog in June very unexpectedly. He basically suffocated in my arms, and I didn't expect it. I didn't know what to do. I panicked. I realized I didn't have a first aid kit.
Yes.
I didn't know what to do. I had no, and you know, you do that for your kids, you do that for your family,
right,
but you don't think of your pets all the time. So I think that's really important. It's what I learned.
I am so sorry that you went through that.
Well, it was pretty horrible.
Oh. Yes, in your arms. We understand completely, but it's a great, great thought.
And, it's a really good idea, and There are resources out there to learn these things. The Red Cross has some online training, so contacting the Red Cross, they actually do have some pet courses. Looking at Tunxus Community College, they're actually this spring going to teach some pet first aid classes that talk about basic first aid, CPR, choking hazards, heat and cold emergencies, and health signs to watch for. They have it March 7th, 2020, and May 9th, 2020. So I think that's an excellent suggestion on your part.
Awesome.
I am sorry that you went through that, but I think that's a great thing to tell people to do.
Well, it is, you know, because it's too late once you have that emergency and you don't know what to do. And,
right.
And it's so easy to panic. Your mind loses. You lose your mind. You don't really know what to do, and you just sit there and you're like, "What now? What?" So
right.
That's my lesson learned, and I hope other people will. Do something about it.
And it's not that hard. I think that's why you just feel so, I mean, when the loss of having, you know, your furry pet family member is just so devastating, but there's some simple things that can be done, but it's like you said, if you don't know what to do, or even what to look for, you know, again, in terms of the color of the gums, when do you know that this is really a problem when we have to go to the emergency hospital? But this is, again, we're so glad that you brought this and you're willing to share this painful incident so that we do. And talking, you know, to your veterinarian is just, there's so many you know, good ways to try to get that information. We've even taught courses ourselves and taught, you know, like groups that have had us come in. So good luck, Kathy. You know, have you opened up your heart again, or it's just been too painful?
Well, you know, I lost two dogs within a few months, so we're kind of waiting a little bit.
I can understand, yeah. We understand hard. Completely,
but
yeah.
The other one, at least, it was, I mean, at least, it's still a loss, but it was planned, we understood, it was a disease, you know, he was diabetic, and it was uncontrolled, and, you know, you saw it coming, and you know, it was, we had to put him down, but at least you felt like, okay, we gave him the best life, we did everything we could.
Right.
We, you know, and there was nothing else we could do. But this case, it shouldn't have happened. And, you know.
I do. And I think the other thing, too, is that we're learning something from you, or I am. I could speak for myself in that, you know, when we have puppies and kittens, when people first bring their first dogs and cats to us, we go over a lot of information. It's not just the physical exam. And we should probably include something like this.
Yeah.
You know, now that you're saying that, you sort of like, you know, opened up our minds a little bit that this is something that, especially when there are classes around and there's, you know, apps that people are very, you know, tech savvy, or, you know, the younger crowd just uses their phone for everything. So I appreciate you doing this. I think we're going to expand our own teaching in our animal hospital. So thank you for calling.
And, you know, there's one other thing, too, that my vet said to me. I actually am handicapped, so I use a walker. And one of the reasons that I couldn't get him to help is that I couldn't carry him out of the house, and I was waiting for someone to come to me to help me carry him out.
Mm-hmm.
And my vet said afterwards that he knew of this woman that builds these little harnesses that I could have used. If I had purchased one, I could have, because I can pick somebody up. You need a walker. So he said, you know, he said to me, I really should have said something to you. I should have, you know, been more observant. I didn't even think that you would need that help or anything, but.
Yeah, you're helping us, Kathy. I mean, in your pain, you're helping us, and you know. And again, we know that we're always learning. We're always learning, and you know, this is like the harnesses are same thing with your veterinarian. I think veterinarians are very good about saying we don't know it all. You know, so that's why this show is very good about sharing. And you know, this phone call in itself is going to help so many people that are listening.
I'm glad.
Okay. Well, good luck to you, Kathy. And hopefully, at some point, you'll be able to heal and bring someone else in for a little company.
Maybe in the spring.
Okay. Well, good luck. Let us know, though, okay?
All righty.
Thank you so
much. Have a nice day. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
same
Kathy.
To you.
Poor thing. That's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just hear it in her voice. So, do you want to? I guess we have another call. So let's grab that one before a break, okay? And I'm not sure I have a complete answer at this point. It's Sheila, this is Dr. Dennis and Dr. Saranovich.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have Finnish lap hounds, and you helped me last spring with a problem I was having with my very intact male.
Uh-huh.
You know, but and he's wonderful. He really is. And
good,
I wouldn't
good.
Keep him intact, but he's just wonderful.
Right.
And he did have a little problem, you know, urinary tract,
yes.
and we got it all resolved.
Oh, good,
and
good.
He's in great shape. But I'm doing a shameless plug, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I'm a member of the Merrimack Valley Kennel Club in Derry, New Hampshire, mostly because I have a northern breed, and most of the clubs around here are bird dogs and fluffies.
Right.
So I belong to that particular kennel club. And this weekend, they're up there at the Eastern States having a show.
Oh.
And it is a very fine show. And if you want to spend a Sunday just having a really good time, go to the Eastern States. It's $5 to get in. There's vendors. There's education. It's like a circus.
We've been there, so we understand. But again, that's a nice resolution because you can go and you can see some gorgeous, gorgeous canines. You know, somebody see these dogs, and at the same time, with the vendors' information to again help have a good, healthy start to the year. So, no, thank you for sharing. Eastern States is easy for lots of people to get to.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, Sheila, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks for taking this call.
Oh,
and it's a great club, and they're wonderful people, and they'll help you out if you have questions.
Okay, that's perfect. Well, listen, Happy New Year. Have a great 2020.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Thank you, Sheila. Yeah, I think... especially, I don't know what the weather's going to be like tomorrow.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, if you want to go inside, it's not too far from where you live.
No.
You just go right up the road.
That'd be entertaining.
Hey, we were, before we take our last break of the afternoon, we were talking about some of the winter issues. And there was, you know, we talked about the going through the ice, which is, can be devastating, and staying off the ice. But then also you had a little story about a tortoise, because people... are using little heating units.
Yeah,
and
so
you have to be careful.
This was a 45-year-old tortoise, and the reason it caught the news, it was in England, and it caught the news is because it has a very cranky look on its face, so it was the angry tortoise that the fire department had to save. But what it actually did was it had a heat lamp, and the tortoise knocked it over onto its bedding and set the house on fire.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think that's a lesson for all of us when you're thinking about if you're heating with any heat lamps or any type of source like that that can be knocked over or something can be brushed against, keep in mind that it's not just the people that can hit it, but your animals can hit it and start fires. So super important to remember where placement of that is in relationship to your animals.
Good. And if I can piggyback on that, heating pads too.
Oh.
When people are using heating pads and some of those old ones, especially that just never shut off or they don't have an automatic shut off.
Yep.
And I've had pets burn on those because people think, oh, they're cold and we'll put the heating pad on. So again, those electrical items, we take it for granted.
Right.
I bought a new heating pad for myself, but it's got this automatic shut off.
Right.
But I'm also very careful about shutting it off.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's another thought to keep you safe for the winter. It's time for us to take our last short break of the afternoon. We'll be back with more phone calls and more information about keeping your pets safe on Pet Talk.
I'd spend 10,000 hours, 10,000 more. Oh, if that's what it takes to learn that sweetheart of yours. And I might never get there, but I'm gonna try. If it's 10,000 hours or the rest of my life, I'm gonna love you.
Welcome back. You're listening to the veterinary edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis and Dr. Eva Saranovich. We're from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital. And on Saturdays, we spend our time on WTIC News Talk 1080. I want to thank Justin Levine for providing the music ideas and then getting us through a little bit of fun with this 2020 beginning show for the year. And we've been talking about and callers that have also been adding things that we should do to our New Year's resolutions to help our pets, things that we should think differently about. So if you have a thought that you want to share, feel free to give us a call at 860-522-9842 or at 800-966-9842. We've been talking over the years about living with wildlife, and they're more and more a part of our lives every day. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. But just sorry, but first, we're gonna just sort of give you an update with some of the things that Dr. Eva has found in the news.
Yeah, no, as we all know, Australia is in big trouble right now, horrible fires, and our heart goes out to all those people that are there. But it's an interesting article in. They're trying to help the koala population out in some of these fire-ravaged areas, and it's part of it is having to find the koalas. And there's an article about a dog that I guess he was not a good... he's one of these working breeds, Australian working breeds, and he was not a good house pet. And apparently he's not a cuddly dog, and he doesn't like to be touched a whole lot, but he loves to work, which a lot of these, that's what these dogs are bred for.
Right.
And what they found out is he will sniff out koalas, and he doesn't have a huge prey drive. He doesn't want to kill the koalas.
Right.
He will do it for his ball as a reward, and he helps research these trackers that are trying to help these animals find the koalas.
Yeah.
I think it's just amazing how you can use how talented these dogs are, and how you can take a dog that wasn't a good house pet, but here he has such talents that somebody was able to train and use in other circumstances and try to benefit.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
It is.
And I hope, again, that those fires will ease up soon because,
it's awful.
So much land and so these animals that live there.
It's just awful. These poor people.
And then, and I think about that, too, in terms of why we're seeing more and more wildlife. We appear to be seeing more wildlife. I know in my neighborhood, you know, we've talked about seeing on the air here. With obviously, we had bear and deer, coyotes. We even have a moose in our neighborhood in Simsbury. And one of my neighbors is very alert to all the wildlife. She'll capture pictures normally, and many times she's done gotten pictures. Louisa has been very good about documenting who's in the neighborhood on any given day.
That's cool.
We love Louise. She's
That's
great
cool.
with the camera. But she went out to get her mail the other day, and there was a bobcat. Mm-hmm. Now, at least the bobcat seems to still scare a little bit easy.
Yeah, they say bobcats that don't really, unless the bobcat attacks that have happened are usually bobcats that something's wrong with them. Okay. Typically rabid bobcats, but they're not right. that interested in us.
Right, right.
But we're seeing them more and more, and we're seeing them in cities. There's bobcats. They've tracked one that the GPS data, they have collars on them that are programmed to fall off, that then they can get these collars and see where they've been. And there's one that, it's a female bobcat. She lives steps away from St. Francis Hospital's emergency room entrance. And she and her kittens occasionally go into Bloomfield and West Hartford and then come back to Hartford. They're, you know, they want to go hunt out in the country, but they're city cats.
They're city slickers.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
And they say they're in Bridgeport. So they're all over the place, this increase in bobcats. I mean, again, the good news is they're typically not interested in us.
Okay.
They're beautiful things. I thought one of the most important, interesting things was when they want to trap them and collar them, they use cat toys to lure them in. Sparkly, shiny cat toys. Doesn't matter how big you are.
Well, that's good. I think a lot of people just assume that, you know, bobcats are going to attack their own mm-hmm. cats and dogs out there. And mm-hmm. and they're not like coyotes.
No, they tend not to be like coyotes. They tend to want to stay away from us. And they actually do a lot of good by controlling the rodent population.
Right.
It's around your house. Again, you still obviously still need to be careful. And there have been attacks. But again, typically, those are usually rabid animals. There's something wrong with them
right.
that happens.
I didn't realize until I actually read the article that they also attack deer as well.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, because they're about 40 pounds, but I feel like we see more and more of them all the mm-hmm. time. So just to be careful. But whereas if we can compare those a little bit to the coyotes, because again you and I both have had personal experience mm-hmm. with coyotes. I think on a Saturday, I don't believe you were here, but there was a caller that called in about it, and I had seen two attacks that month
right.
from different. One was out in East Granby.
Well, I do. The caller, he was actually just walking his dog, and the coyote was approaching them.
Yeah, and I had one that was a cat.
Yeah.
A cat fought off a coyote. Yeah. Now, the cat's name is Rambo. I'm serious. No, that's really his name.
That's funny.
He's about the size of a dog, but he fought off a coyote. Now, he was sore, and he had some scratches and injuries, but most of cats will not be able to fight off a coyote.
No.
They usually snatch them, and we've seen many dogs killed.
Absolutely.
So, but just always go out with the leash, be there, just because you might see one or think there's just one, there's others waiting.
Oh, yes. Yes, there is. It's funny with the bobcat. I remember seeing, I was driving down the street, and I kind of, see something in the corner of my eye, and I go, oh, it's a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And, and you go a little bit past it, and you go, huh. And there was nobody behind me. It was a quiet road, so I backed up, and sure enough, there's this little bobcat sitting there, all mm-hmm. fuzzy, and staring at each other for a while.
Yeah.
It's cute.
I mean, they're gorgeous.
They really are.
Gorgeous critters. And again, the fact that they are typically don't want to have interaction with us, whereas I the bear in our neighborhood, and I know we're kind of going off in a DEEP lecture here, but the bear, I am so amazed why the bear do not, they're not shocked that we're maybe bringing our garbage to the curb.
Well, they're happy that you're bringing your garbage to the curb.
That's true.
It's dinner.
Or mowing the lawn. You would think the sound of a lawnmower.
Yeah, they don't care.
And a couple of years ago, driving home from work on a Saturday, it was one Saturday I wasn't coming here to the office. I was heading home, and I unfortunately hit one.
Mm-hmm.
He survived. My car, not so much. My car, not so much. So, you know, we have to be careful with the wildlife. I think all of us now know that we have to, when we drive at dusk, you know, you're kind of looking not just what's in front of you or what's coming towards you, but the woods on the side.
Absolutely.
Who's going to dart out, right?
Absolutely.
Anything more about the bobcats that you wanted to share?
Not really.
I want to see the bobcat near St. Francis, that's all.
No, and the little kittens.
The little kittens, absolutely.
All right, so I know you had something else you wanted to share, but I was just going to mention, was you finding your last thing, because we have a couple more minutes to go, and that is that when we were talking about dog shows, that I was thinking in terms of Westminster.
Yep.
Westminster Dog Show. So, and they had just announced this year for 2020 that they are going to introduce, so they're announcing two new breeds that they are accepting. This is the American Kennel Club. And one is the Barbet, which is a French water dog, and it's going to be a part of the sporting group. And it's, you know, the AKC describes it as a very smart, even-tempered dog with a very happy, friendly nature. They're very curly hair, very thick. I think it's a lot of maintenance for, mm-hmm. for that hair coat. And I guess I like people to be aware that these new dogs, but not these dogs are good for dog shows. I'm not necessarily saying we know what kind of, you know, some sure right. what pets they are. Because the other one they're introducing is the Dogo Argentino. And this is a large dog. And this is a dog that's really bred for protection. Mm-hmm. They look kind of look really beautiful in the pictures. I'm not sure if it's a Labradoodle type personality.
Yeah.
So we've got about 30 seconds. So if there's anything else that's kind of short and sweet.
Yeah, I think just a reminder out there. We've talked about this before, the whole grain-free diet issue, mm-hmm. With the fact that there are dogs out there. We don't know why it happens in some dogs and not others, but they're dogs that will develop a type of cardiomyopathy or heart disease called dilated cardiomyopathy that, if picked up early enough, if you go back on the correct diet, has been shown to reverse it.
Good.
So we know there's something about these diets. There are veterinary nutritionists trying to figure out what's going on with them,
right.
But still, in the meantime, they say try to stay away from some of these boutique, exotic, ingredient, grain-free diets until they know more about it so that you don't hurt your pet. And just to note that there's nothing beneficial about grain-free to most dogs either. So if you're thinking that may benefit your dog, there right. really isn't, because most dogs don't have grain allergies.
Right. They really don't. It's usually the protein.
It's usually the protein, but be super careful about these diets. When we know more and we can tell you more, we certainly will. But right. at this point, they're still advising not to feed these diets. And if you need to transition to another diet, speak with your veterinarian about where a good way to go.
I second that. Speak to your veterinarian. We're very happy to share that information. Don't try to do it on your own mm-hmm. online, because the information is confusing.
Yes.
And we're keeping track of it. So just give them a call. People will be happy to talk with you. So I guess it's time for some news. And we're going to say goodbye. Thank you, Michael, for producing the show and taking good care of us. And we're going to see you in a couple of weeks. We'll be back with more Pet Talk in 2 weeks.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.